We turn now to God's inspired word in Psalm 139. Psalm 139. We focus this morning on verses 17 and 18 of Psalm 139. But let us read the chapter. The Psalm of David. Hear the word of God. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought or skillfully embroidered in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The text that we focus on in our sermon this morning is verses 17 and 18. Let's reread those verses. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. We have before us in God's Word here in Psalm 139, one of the most beloved psalms in Scripture. And the main thought that is running through this psalm that is beloved by each believer is the thought of God's omniscience, His attribute or characteristic of omniscience. Omniscience, children, means that God is all-knowing, that God has a comprehensive knowledge of everything. There is nothing that God does not know. He is omniscient. That is what runs through the entire psalm. David is marveling at this thought, this amazing, incomprehensible mind of God that is able to know everything. He marvels at the beginning of the psalm about how God knows every single one of His actions. When He sits down, when He rises up, when He walks in the way, when He goes to sleep, God knows every action. Even if He were to, he says later on in the psalm, He were to fly to the remotest part of the earth or to try to hide in darkness, God sees everything as though it is light to Him. God knows all our actions. But David marvels also at the thought that God knows all His words. He says in verse 4, for there is not a word in my tongue. And lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Before there is a word spoken, God, the Omniscient One, knows that word. Before I pray, He knows what I will say. And not only our words, but every secret thought. Verse 2, Thou knowest or understandest my thought afar off, far before I even think it. Perhaps the most awesome part of Psalm 139 is the picture that David draws in verses 13 and following, as he marvels at God's thoughts when he was a mere speck in his mother's womb. God the Maker, who skillfully worked in David's mother's womb, knew everything that David would be before he even began that work. Verse 16, Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, meaning without shape. And in thy book all my members, meaning all my body parts, were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. For some, this truth of God's omniscience is frightening. It is fearful. If God knows everything about me, He sees and knows every word, every thought about me, every lustful thing that I have had in my head, every wicked word spoken, everything that has come in my view, in the screens that I have in front of my face, if God knows everything, then it makes us, as unbelievers, if we are unbelievers, very afraid. His clear and searching eye doth see and judge, and will judge. But for the child of God who approaches this Word of God by faith, with an active faith, this is not a matter of fear, but a matter of comfort and joy and praise. That's how David approaches this thought of God's omniscience. Our marvelous, he says. He marvels. Especially in our text, how precious also, he exclaims, are thy thoughts, thy omniscient thoughts, he means, unto me, O God. How great the sum of them. At the occasion of baptism, we marvel along with God's word and the psalmist here of God's thoughts towards us. Towards us when we were even just a little child. Thoughts that are precious to say, even. God's precious thoughts unto me, that's a theme of our text and the sermon this morning. And just 2 points. First, His thoughts of me, very personal. And then in response to that, our thoughts or my thoughts of Him. When David is a believer, an inspired writer of this psalm, looked upon his life, he marveled at God's thoughts of him. And notice with me 7, really 8, but 7 to start, 7 characteristics or descriptions that we can make of God's thoughts that we find from this text. God's thoughts, which David speaks of here, are first, very obviously, the first word we have here is precious. How precious are they? And by that, when David says, how precious are they, he does not mean only, or even first of all, I think God's thoughts are precious. But he means, God thinks of me as precious. You see the difference? Not I think of God as precious and His thoughts as precious, but God thinks of me as precious. That's why He's marveling. God values me. That's what the word precious means. It is to think of someone as costly, valuable, weighty. God thinks of me as precious. And so when He talks about thoughts here, in our text, God's thinking of me. It is a thinking of love. It is a relational knowledge of love. As a husband thinks of his beloved wife, or as a parent thinks thoughts of his or her son or daughter. Precious. He, she is precious to me. That's what David marvels. God says and thinks, this David, this son, this daughter is precious. Isaiah 43 verse 4 puts it this way, since thou wast precious in my sight, God says, thou hast been honorable and I have loved thee. Therefore, I will give men for thee and people for thy life. To illustrate, when you walk up to someone after church today and you say to that person, I'm thinking of you. I'm thinking of you. You do not mean by that, I thought about facts in your life coldly. You do not mean by that that you went through facts about that person as a student might think about a mathematical equation or about a science project or a geographical location. But when you say, I'm thinking of you, you're saying, I had careful, caring, loving thoughts of you as precious to me. And David thinks of how God does that. God says, I am thinking of you. David marvels at precious thoughts of him first. Secondly, the thoughts of our text are personal thoughts. Personal thoughts. Second P. To me, David says, to me, singularly. Yes, David recognizes, of course, in other psalms he shows that David recognizes, of course, that when God thinks, he thinks of all his people. He thinks of his church as a group, not only in this place, but in all the world, his universal church. God has good thoughts, precious thoughts to all his people. David's not being individualistic here as some Americans or most Americans are. Me, myself, and I, that's who God thinks about. I'm the only one that's special. No, that's not how David thinks, of course. He doesn't forget that God's love extends to all his people, and yet he recognizes that while God's love does extend to all his people, yet to me also. Personally, to me as a unique person, with a personality different from every other personality, with a DNA that's different from every other person's DNA, as a unique person with unique gifts that he has given me and sown into my very being, to me, with my specific afflictions and the lessons that I have learned in life, to me, precious thoughts, to me, you and I are not a number to God as we are to the U.S. government. But precious to think about is that he, in a manner that is singular and distinct to us, to you, thinks the thoughts of love and kindness. And though no one else, at times in our life we may feel this, though no one else may think of me as such, and I myself even may feel as unimportant and a nobody, yet God sees me as precious, personally. Precious, personal, third, particular. God's thoughts in our text are particular. And I mean by that God's thoughts are precious not to every single person, but to only you and me who are his people, his elect people. David makes that very, very clear in verses 19 and following, the part of the psalm that we may not like to read. The part of the psalm which speaks of the wicked, do not I hate them? He says in verse 21, O Lord, that hate thee. And this is not a hatred, of course, that is a personal vengeance or anger against other people. But it's a hatred that David takes on because he knows, perhaps God has revealed to him specifically the people that he hated, or generally speaking, the reprobate. The enemies of God, I hate them because they hate thee, O God. And we may, when we hear reprobation and how God's precious thoughts are particular to his people, we may be frustrated about it. We may perhaps not like it. But it will do us no good, for our answer from God's word is simply, who art thou, O man, to reply against God? We could be frustrated, but better, as the psalmist guides us to, better it would be to realize God's thoughts are all the more precious and special, you see, if they are not to every single person in all the world, but only to you, his people. You see how that, even the doctrine of election and reprobation, makes God's thoughts all the more precious. It wouldn't be precious because part of being precious is that it's rare. It's rare. Not for every single person. And not because you and I deserve it. The great God of heaven and earth, who did not have to have a single gracious thought to anyone, decided merely of grace to see you and to choose you as his precious son and daughter. That's amazing. It's particular, which makes it all the more amazing. Precious, personal, particular. Fourth, what's implied in the last one, pre-existent. Pre-existent. From eternity. Meditate on that. from eternity, He has thought of us as precious. Do you understand what eternity is? No, you can't. Your mind can't comprehend that. Before the foundations of the world, in the infinite past, so to speak, He has always, never a point in time, even started to think of us as precious. Because He's always thought of us as precious. You and I have existed as a loving, gracious thought in the mind of God. And yes, in time, as He was shaping us in our mother's womb, while abortionists had evil thoughts of you, thinking of you as mere fetal matter to be disposed of, before parents may have even given a thought that you were there, while you yourself had no self-consciousness, no thought that you existed, you were precious to Him. Precious, personal, particular, pre-existent. Fifth, God's thoughts in our text are purposeful. Purposeful. The word for thoughts can be translated, it's often translated in the Scriptures, the aims or purposes of God. We can say, how precious are thy purposes toward me. That's what David means. They're not a bunch of random thoughts. They're disconnected. Oh yeah, I know that he's going to have brown hair and she's going to have a stubborn personality and disconnected from one another. No, God's thoughts are perfectly organized. Every single thread, so to speak, directed to a purpose in His perfect plan. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end with a purpose in mind. Each part of your human anatomy, each strand of hair that stays on your head and grows or falls off, each special need that you have, every flaw you stare at in the mirror and wish it wasn't there, each difficulty in life, each vein and drop of blood that courses through those veins, each fiber and tendon connected or torn, each clot, each bit of cancer that enters your body unexplainably, each white blood cell, each personality trait, every tear that He collects in His bottle, every movement and blink, either thoughts and the words that are on our tongue. Nothing is randomly in your life, but all with a purpose for your good and for His glory. Purposeful. Sixth, powerful. The word God means just that. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God, He says. He is the sovereign one. That's what the name God means by very definition of it. So that when He thinks and plans, His counsel never fails. Isaiah 46, I am God and there is none like unto me, declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times to things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I shall do all my pleasure. Everything in His perfect plan is done exactly as He has planned by His sovereign hand. It is a powerful plan. Precious, personal, particular, pre-existent, purposeful, powerful. And seventh and finally, Perpetual thoughts. Constant thoughts. It is not, and our minds sometimes go to this because of perhaps some philosophical things that we've heard in college classes, or just because we're affected maybe by determinism in our day and age. It is not that God from eternity made a plan, plugged it into a computer system, so to speak, that runs this earth, and then sits back and allows it to run according to that plan. It is not that. That's a pagan philosophy, fatalism, determinism, and then deism. David does not believe in a deist or a fatalistic God. This is a God, David says, who is perpetually, constantly thinking upon us as he personally accomplishes his plan. No, you as a human being cannot, of course, focus on more than one thing at a time, and so you have to leave things be and let it happen as it happens. But God is not a human being, and for every single movement in your life, in the life of all human beings in this world, in every part of creation, he is there. He is close, he is nigh, and he is thinking carefully about each and everything he performs. An amazing thought, Isaiah 49 verse 15, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they, meaning referring to a mother or mothers, may forget, yet will I not forget thee. And even a mother may forget her child. And in her busyness, and even as that child grows up, she may have times when she forgets. But what an awesome thought that God's thoughts are perpetually upon us. And even upon our children when we forget them. But I said there's one more, in addition to the seven P's, that makes God's thoughts most precious. And all that I have said implies this. Precious, personal, particular, pre-existent, purposeful, powerful, and perpetual thoughts mean saving thoughts. Saving thoughts from eternity toward us when we were yet in our mother's womb, and our children too. His loving, gracious thought has been always upon us in Jesus Christ. Why? Think of it this way. Why? Why does he see you and his thought and his mind as precious? Well, it is exactly because of the precious blood and the precious righteousness of Jesus Christ. Covering you. First Peter 1 verse 19, with the precious blood, he says, that's how he redeems. The precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. And then this verse afterward, talking about the thoughts of God, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times to you. What Peter's saying, and what God's word's saying, what David is thinking of is this, that from eternity God has known Christ. From eternity God has seen Christ's blood shed. From eternity God has seen Christ's blood shed on behalf of you, his people, his particular people, his precious people, because of his precious Son. That's what David is thinking of. For David and all the Old Testament people, there was salvation, you see. There were saving thoughts, and they knew it. David and the Old Testament people did not think, oh, one day when I die, I'm going to purgatory because the Messiah has not come and Christ has not shed his blood for my sins yet. That's not what they were thinking. They were thinking the precious thoughts of God toward them, which had been from eternity, and even though Christ had not yet come, that's how God saw them. As covered. Covered. When? Go back to verse 13. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. And what David speaks of in this psalm regarding the Old Testament people, he does not only speak as an Old Testament believer, but he speaks as one who believes that God has precious thoughts toward infant children too. Infant children of believers in my mother's womb. Oh yes, David also confesses in another psalm, as you know, Psalm 51. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and sin that my mother conceived me. Because of his natural connection and our children's natural connection to Adam and to us parents as sinners, passed on to them is a sinful nature. And yet, God has precious thoughts to us while in our mother's womb, while we were yet sinners. He sees Christ as washing away our sins. That's his thoughts. As the baptism form put it, as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received by grace in Christ. And so you see, beloved, that is why we baptize the children of believers in the body of Christ in this church. Because at baptism, what you get to see and what I get to see are the precious thoughts of God toward us when we were yet young, when we were yet little, when we were yet infants, when we could not think of God. In fact, when our thoughts of God were yet evil, even as a little child, his thoughts of us were precious. And he displays that to us in a sign. Psalm 22:9, Thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. What do you think? What do you think as you meditate upon God's precious thoughts to you and to your children? Three points to close. Our response, our thoughts toward God is first. Keep thinking. We keep meditating. The sermon is not supposed to do this. The sermon is not supposed to get this reaction from you. Oh yeah, I thought enough about God's thoughts when I was at church this morning. Now I need to take a break. I don't really feel like doing that anymore. No. The whole point of the sermon, and may God work this by His Spirit in your heart, is that when you have your mind and your heart engaged upon God's thoughts for a few moments this morning, you say, not, I have enough. How precious they are to me. I want to keep thinking upon them and meditating upon them and pondering them. In verse 18, you see, notice the word if, and the if is in italics. David is not saying, if I should count them. He is saying, I count them. I am counting them. I intend to continue counting them. And the word count there, children, is not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. The number is not what he's thinking of. The word count is to recount. It's to remember. It's to ponder. It's to meditate on each of God's thoughts to me. In fact, what we see in our text, in verse 18 especially, is that David continues recounting God's many thoughts, many, many thoughts, because there's so many. And you think you're done, you come to an end, you're wrong. He keeps on counting the many, many, many thoughts on God. And the picture is David falls asleep counting. And then he awakes with a start. That's why there's an abruptness there between the word sand and when. I should count them. They are more in number than the sand. And the pictures of David falling asleep. And then waking up. Oh, that's right. I was counting God's thoughts toward me. Put away your phones and devices, people of God. They're not wrong of themselves. Stop the hyperactive, shallow thinking on social media and screen entertainment. And think. Think God's thoughts after him, which are precious to you, which are precious, more precious to you than gold. Count them as you fall asleep tonight. The second response, besides counting, is marvel, worship God as you do so. The question mark shouldn't be there. It's a question, verse 17. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God? But the King James Version is correct by putting an exclamation point. It's a question of exclamation. How precious they are! David is stunned. Are you stunned? Are you amazed? Does your heart erupt in praise? Should. Think upon that word God again. Precious are they unto me, O God. Do you know how big God is? Do you realize how big he is and how little you are? The text refers to sand. Let me draw you a picture again. Think about all the sand and all the universe. Put it all together. All the sand and all the universe put together. In comparison to God, it would be as if all the sand fit on the tip of his finger. That's how big God is. Bigger. Bigger than that. And you and I are like one of those grains of sand. That's with respect to size. And this God who is transcendent and higher and bigger than we can even understand condescends. He condescends coming to us as little grains of sand in his sight and valuing us as precious jewels to him. And for one little piece of sand like we are, he has thoughts as many as the sand. That's what David is saying. That's astounding, people of God, that God would think of you this way. Worship, bow before him, marvel at this awesome thought and find comfort finally in this. Because when I call you to think upon God's marvelous and precious thoughts, to think upon it, to count them as David did, and fall asleep doing so, and to worship and marvel at his thoughts, I know, not only about you, but about myself, that it's not going to happen. And because of your human frailty and my limitations and sin, your thoughts and your praise and your marveling will be interrupted. As was the case with David, he literally fell asleep. And sometimes that sleep will not be merely a literal slumber where you close your eyes and you lose consciousness of what's around you. But it might be the sleep of spiritual slumber when you wander into sin, into darkness. And one day that sleep will be the sleep of death. And here's my comfort and your trust. When I awake, I am still with thee. When I stop thinking of him at night, he never stops thinking of me. When I stray into sin, and my children stray into sin, he never stops thinking precious thoughts of me to lead me back to him. And when I sleep the sleep of death, he never stops thinking of me so that I awake. I always awake with him. What a comfort. What a precious God whose thoughts we can trust, which should lead us to exclaim all the more, how precious are they unto me, O God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thy word and the picture of baptism, which illustrates thy word, thou hast used to reveal to us thy precious thoughts to us. How great the quality and how great the quantity of them. Far greater than we can understand. How comforting to know. How empowering unto trust. Enable us by thy Spirit to believe thee and thy promises. For thou wilt keep us in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.